we just did a moment ago that my wife led you in there was kind of a declaration of faith. You know, if you ever watch Joel Osteen, he'll do that. Everybody hold up your Bible. He said, this is my Bible. He got that from his daddy, from John Osteen, his dad. But he kind of shortened it because he's on national, international television. His dad was on TV as well, but he did the full version. This is my Bible. I am what the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. Tonight I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Hear me, devil. Joel leaves that part out. Hear me, devil. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. And then Joel goes, God bless you. He says it like that. All right, everybody take out your outlines. I love Brother Joel. Take out your outlines. Looks like this in your bulletins. Help you follow along with the message. We're starting a new series, New Year, New Me. Now, Denise, I'm going to throw a little curveball here. I'm starting out with some scriptures you probably don't have. But if you want to add them for tomorrow, fine. But they were just kind of last second additions. But this is where I want to start. I'm talking about faith. I'm going to come down here. I want you all to get this. Mark 11, 22. And reading on. These are the hallmark scriptures that I was taught at Rhema Bible Training College. These are the scriptures that Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, as a young man, when I had Brother Hagin, he was about 65 years old at Rhema. He lived up to, I think, about 83 years old. But when he was a young man, he was paralyzed in bed, bedridden for several years. He had a deformed heart and an incurable blood disease. And laying on his deathbed, he believed these scriptures, and he was raised up healed from that deathbed of the paralysis of the blood disease and the deformed heart. And he read this verse of scripture, Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, this is after he's cursed the fig tree, it's withered and died because there was no figs, and he cursed it. And he came back the next day and said, look, Lord, look, the fig tree that you cursed, it's withered. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Some translations render it, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith is what Jesus is telling his disciples. And he's telling each and every one of you and I. The God kind of faith. Well, what is that? What is the God kind of faith? Well, Jesus spoke to the fig tree. And what he spoke happened. God, the Creator, spoke, let there be light, and there was light. See, God didn't make the earth or light out of something. He didn't go into his closet and pull something out and make the earth or the light. He spoke and it was. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the power of the spoken word. That's what we were doing right there with my wife and what I just demonstrated, like what John and Joel Osteen would do. It's a declaration of faith, of speaking God's word. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, verily means most assuredly, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. One time, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin in a dream, and he said that you'll have to teach on the saying three times as much as the believing. That's why Jesus said here, whosoever shall say, look at here, unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe, put up a finger on the other hand, say, believe, that those things which he saith to shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So you use the word say or saith three times, the word believe once. Why? Because people say, well, they believe. They'll believe something in their heart, but then they don't enact it by speaking. And you need to speak something in order for it to be enacted. In order to be saved, what do you have to do? Believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead, and then do what? Say with your mouth. Speak with your mouth. Confess Jesus is Lord. People will die and go to hell believing in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead until they take that step of faith and speak it. The words you speak locate where you are at. They will locate your life, and you will make your own life by what you say. Therefore, I say unto you, because of this saying and believing, you need both. Therefore, I say unto you, because of this, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When do you have it? When you got it? No, you have it when you asked, when you prayed, when you spoke it. That's when you have it. That's faith. Then in Hebrews 11, verse 6, Paul the Apostle wrote, "But without faith," everybody say faith, "but without faith, it is impossible to please him," to please God. "For he that comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if God told us that in order to please him, we had to have something, in this case, faith, and it was impossible to receive faith in order to please God, that would make God unjust, wouldn't it? If he were to say, okay, without a bread box in your kitchen, it's impossible to please me. How many of you have a bread box? Does anybody have bread boxes anymore? Anybody got a bread box in your kitchen? Does my mom still have her bread box? My mom still has a bread box. So my mom is pleasing to God because mom has a bread box, if that's what the Bible said. You understand? This is an illustration. Oh, my God, I got to go to Walmart and get a bread box. No, I'm not saying that. But if this were the case, without a bread box, it's impossible to please God. Well, guess what? We better find out how to get a bread box then, right? If it, in order to please him, you had to have it. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If it were impossible to get faith, then we're in a whole load of trouble. And God's not a good guy, because that would be unjust. Giving us a command to get something to please him, but it was impossible to get or hard to get, or we didn't know how to get it. How do you receive faith? You ask for it? No. Do you pray for more faith? No. Do you beg for it? That's a biggie. Oh God, give me faith, give me faith, give me. No. Doesn't say that in the Word. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith cometh by what? Hearing the Word. Hearing the Word. Not having heard the Word. I remember years ago we had a prayer line at our first building. A lady came up, well, we had several people. I'm going along praying for them. Sometimes you'll notice when we pray for somebody, if Pastor Terry and I are going to pray for somebody, sometimes there's a gift of the Spirit in operation. And some, you know, she has said something like, well, somebody with an ear problem come up, and she'll just go and pray. We don't need to hear what the issue is. God said there's an ear problem, so she just prays for the ear. She might ask which ear, right or left or both, and pray. If that's what the Spirit of God has said, that's what we act on. Sometimes you'll come up and the anointing's just there, we'll just lay hands on. Other times, what's the need? And then we'll agree with you in prayer. But then there have been other times, and in this case that I'm referring to, at the first building, people came up and I said, what are you believing for? Okay, whether it was a sickness, a healing, a job, finances, whatever, their marriage, their children, an unsaved loved one, I don't know, lots of different needs. How many of you know we all have needs? And but my question to him was, well, what scripture are you standing on in faith? I want to agree with you according to that scripture. What scripture are you standing on believing for that need? And every one of these people had something except one. And so this person would say, well, I'm standing on, God will supply all my, okay, and we'll agree and we'll pray. And this is what I was doing that day. That's what God said to do, so I was doing it. Well, I came to one lady and I said, what scripture are you standing on? And she didn't have one. So I said, well, let's find a scripture for you then. And so I had a scripture and I gave it to her and she says, well, I already know that. And I thought, well, bless your heart, darling. Then you'll have exactly what you've always had because you already have that. Well, evidently you don't, or you wouldn't be up here asking. You see? Faith comes by hearing, not having heard. Yeah, you might have already heard that, but that doesn't mean you have the full revelation or grasp of it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. That's why sometimes you'll hear the same principle or even the same verse of Scripture over and over and over, and then all of a sudden one day it's like the light goes on. You go, wow, I've never seen that like that before. Why? Because it becomes revelation knowledge, rhema, a rhema word to your heart, you know? So here's what needs to happen. You need to get a hold of this. You need to get a hold of this. It's going to take a constant, careful, reverent, diligent, prayerful study of God's Word. Not just reading one verse in the morning. You know, oh Lord Jesus,
Jesus wept. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you and bless my buttered toast and coffee. Amen.
That's not going to get it done. We're moving into 2017. We're living in some crazy times, folks. So bless your little dumpling heart praying isn't going to cut it anymore. We need to dig in. We need to push in. We need to press in for more of God. You need to get a hold of that word, because that word is what you will be standing on in the evil day when that comes, and it'll change your life. That's God's word. That Bible is God's word. It's not literature. It's not Shakespeare. Thank God for Shakespeare. But that's the word. It's God speaking to you. You read, you study, you hear it, you believe it in your heart, and then you speak it out your mouth. And what you believe, you speak. And when you speak, you hear it again. And then faith rises in your heart. And you speak it, and you hear it. And faith rises in your heart. You believe it, you speak it. And when you speak, you hear. Words are seeds, and seeds are energizers. Choose well what you energize your life with. By what you speak. Those words are energizers. If you walk around all the time saying, I can't, you know, the person who says I can and the person who says I can't are both right. I can't. You're right. And you won't. But if you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, guess what, buddy? You're right too. And you're going to do it. You're going to do those things God's laid on your heart. You got it? Good. Now let's move on. That was just the preview. Let's get moving here. So as you grow in faith, faith in God is more than just trusting in his ability. It's trusting in his timing as well. This is the hard stuff, timing. We want it now. Between the time where you've prayed, you've asked, you've stood on the scripture, and you've believed, and when the manifestation comes, is the walk of faith. When do you get it? When you get it here? This is what I prayed for and believed. Oh, now I've got it. No, I got it back there. I had it by faith, but now it's manifest. All the time of the walk of faith that I've been praying and believing, I'm just speaking the word. I'm just thanking God that I believe I receive it. I'll give you an example of that here in a few minutes. So another new year is beginning. New year, new me. So say goodbye to your past, the past living of doubt, of disbelief, of barely getting by. Welcome to a new start with God. This is your time to make a decision to walk with him. Let's look over here at Matthew chapter 9. This is where we're going to start on your outline up on the screens. Let me put it into context. Here Jesus is ministering, and he's just actually raised a little girl from the dead. Pow. Wow. Little girl's dead, raises her from the dead. Cool. Well, as Jesus is leaving this place where he's raised this little girl from the dead, there are these two blind guys. They heard what was going on, and they thought, wow, what's going on? He probably heard the clamor and probably asked, what happened? They can't see because they're blind. They must have heard, they probably said that you could infer, what's the clamor about? This Jesus guy raised this girl from the dead. Wow. If this guy can raise a little girl from the dead, maybe he can do something about our eyes. Okay? And they're thinking, I want some of that. So verse 27, Matthew 9, says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. I like the original King James. Whenever I read this scripture, I hear Lester Sumrall. He taught this passage when I was at Rhema. He'd say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. Now, when it says here that they followed him calling out, the Greek word there is krazo, K-R-A-Z-O, meaning to cry with an animalistic cry. Okay? So this isn't, Jesus, help us out over here. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. No. The same Greek word, krazo, is used in Revelation 22 when it talks about a woman screaming out in labor during childbirth. This is the type of cry these men were yelling at Jesus with. Why? Because they realized the answer to our optical dilemma is walking by here, or he's within earshot of us. So bless God, this guy that raised this little girl from the dead and can probably do something about our blindness is within earshot, and he's going to hear us. So they're yelling like a woman screaming out in labor. I got news for you. I was in the delivery room for the birth of all three of my daughters, and I know all about the animalistic cries that I heard during those days. So these guys weren't just going, Jesus, oh, I'm having a baby. Should I push now? That's not how it goes, folks. I've heard that. I wanted to hide because I knew that I caused it. These guys are passionately going after Jesus. We don't know if they've been blind from birth or later in life, but they desperately wanted to see. Verse 28, when he had gone indoors, so Jesus goes by. He hears them. He had to have heard them. But he went on inside. He goes indoors. And the blind man came to him and he asked him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? The blind man came to him. I don't know if they have a cane. I don't know if they're just putting their hands on people. They're grabbing the door. Where did this Jesus go? He went in this house over here. And they got led there. Or I don't know. But they get there. Some way, somehow. And the blind men came to him. Jesus didn't hear them and go running over them. What can I do for you, boys? They came to him. And Jesus asked them, once they get inside, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. And their sight was restored. I gave you the wrong outline, didn't I? Oh, well, just throw your outlines out. This is the wrong outline. This just occurred to me. But you know what? I'm going to keep preaching what I'm preaching. Because this is faith and this is what I'm preaching on. So just toss your outlines. You don't have to fill in the blanks tonight. So just listen to me. Okay, this is right out of the Bible. He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. But they went out and spread the news about him all over the region. Now notice something here. It wasn't, they got healed of their blindness, but it wasn't according to their income. It wasn't according to their social standing. It wasn't according to what other people thought of them. It wasn't according to whether or not they went to church or not. It wasn't according to the style of clothes they wore or how much money they had in the bank. It was according to their faith. And the Bible teaches what we just read in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, that's what God responds to. God responds to faith. Okay? Now, if anyone ever told you one of the following, you're believing, whether it's for healing or finances or a job or, you know, a loved one or whatever the situation is. If anybody's ever told you, well, you didn't pray right, or you didn't have enough faith, you didn't pray long enough, you prayed 20 minutes, you have to pray 23. If you're told you didn't pray hard enough, you know, you got to yell because God's deaf. I've heard people say that. That's dumb. You didn't pray with the right sign-off. You just prayed in Jesus' name. You need to pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or fill in the blank with any other thing that people say to other people. If anybody's ever told you any of these types of things, forget it, flush it, dump it. Here's our focus tonight. What kind of faith is it that pleases God? You see, it's not enough to just believe. You must have faith. And we're going to break that down. We're going to look at three different descriptions or types of faith that God honors. And it's my prayer that this will build your faith. So if you're taking notes, turn over in the back where it says notes and just take notes. Faith that honors God is, number one, a faith that believes when it doesn't see. A faith that believes when it doesn't see. Jesus asked the blind guy, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Long before they saw the results, they said, "Yes, Lord, we believe." I'd ask you the same question today. Do you believe that God is able to meet whatever your need is? But then I'm going to take it a step further. Do you believe he's willing? A lot of people will say, "Oh, I believe God's able. God's able. God's able. God can do anything." Well, actually, no, he can't. God can't do anything. God can't lie. He can't deny one of his own. He can't go back on his word. There's several things God can't do because he's put self-imposed limitations on himself. But do you believe he's willing? If you take whatever massive challenge you're facing, a relational challenge, a spiritual challenge, a physical challenge, a financial challenge, whatever it might be, do you believe God's able to hear your prayer, answer on your behalf, and do you believe also that he is willing to do something about it? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, "For we live by faith, not by sight." We live by faith. We're faith people. 1 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Do you believe all things are possible with God? Well, most Christians would say, "Yeah, I believe that." Do you believe he's able? I believe he can. We hear this in church. God's able to do anything, you know, we ask or what have you. That's a typical church word response, world response, because that's what we're trained to do. But so often our actions and our words betray what we say we believe. Hebrews 11:1. This is from the Amplified Translation. "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." The New King James says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." First of all, substance means, in the Greek, to literally stand under or support. So faith is the foundation that gives the believer the confidence to stand. Our faith is in the Word. That is our foundation. It gives us the foundation, the confidence to stand. It's the confirmation and the title deed, the Amplified says. It's like with a car. If your car is paid off, what do you get in the mail? Title deed. You get it back from the bank, right? Got a little picture of Lincoln on it. I always like that. I like the little picture of Lincoln they have on it. It's a good picture of Lincoln, as opposed to some pictures of Lincoln I see. But that's a good picture of Lincoln. And you get the title deed. And what does that mean? That means that car's mine. Well, where's your car? Well, it's in the garage. Well, where is it? It's in the garage. You can be 100 miles away, but that car is yours. Why? Because I got the title deed. It's mine. You have it, even though you can't see it, possibly at that moment. True faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of what you see. It's confidence in the word. I'll let God be true according to his word, and let every man be a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. My circumstances might be telling me something. My bank account might be telling me something. Other people might be telling me something. But if I'm standing and believing on the word of God according to one of his promises, I'll believe God. I'll stick with him. Second, faith is evidence, meaning proof or conviction. The inward conviction you know in your knower, in your heart, in your spirit. That enables you as a believer to believe things not yet seen. That God performs what he has promised. See, a lot of people think they're operating in faith when in reality, they're only hoping God will come through. Well, are you believing, brother? Are you believing, sister? Well, I'm hoping. I'm hoping and a praying. Well, you're not going to get it, hoping and a praying. You need to be praying and believing. Hope's not a dirty four-letter word, but you need to get out of hope into faith. Hope is a desire. Faith is a demonstration. Hope says, it's coming. It's coming. Hope says, it's coming. Faith says, I have it now. Remember? I prayed, I believed. Mark 11, 23, 24. I believe I receive it, I have it. Even though there's the walk of faith before it finally manifests, I've had it the whole time. Why? Because according to God's word, it's mine. I have it. That's faith. Well, I'm hoping and praying one day, by hook or by crook, some way, somehow, God will come through. See, hope is future tense. Faith is present tense. Now faith is. Hebrews 11:1 says. I love what Oral Roberts, he used to teach a course at Oral Roberts University. I think students still have to take it watching Oral Roberts on video. I hope they still do. I'll have to ask Emily about that. But it was called The Holy Spirit in the Now. Faith in the Now. Now faith. Faith is now. It's not in the future. Hope's in the future. Faith's now. We've got it. I believe I receive it. Hope says, I'm praying healing comes. I'm hoping. I'm praying. Faith says healing is mine. I'm healed. I'm whole. I'm well. Every need is met. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm not moved by feelings or what I see. I'm moved by the promises of God. And the word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus I am healed, that by his stripes I was healed. He bore my sickness. He carried my pain. In Jesus' name, I have it. It's mine. That's faith. Faith speaks. Faith believes. Faith says, I have it now because it's based on something. It's based on God's promise. God promised it. I believe it. That's faith. Case in point, my example. 2 years ago, yesterday, we were on the verge of bankruptcy and losing our church building. But 2 years ago yesterday, we settled our agreement with a bank and got our new mortgage, and we've gone from there ever since. 2 years ago yesterday. And how did that take place? We had to raise $200,000 to $300,000+. Well, how much was it? $365,000? In 3 months. And we prayed and we believed, and money came in. From the congregation, from all over the world, money came in. I had people I went to Rhema with sent $1,000 from the congregation. I had a guy I met one time at a conference in North Carolina, a Dean Radke conference. I drove with him to the banquet that night. We stayed at the same hotel. Hey, you want to ride tonight? He and his wife, sure. I rode in the back seat. I talked to him for maybe 20 minutes to, 20 minutes back. He sent us $1,000. That's all I met him. But he believed in our ministry. 2 years ago, yesterday, we were delivered. You know when we were delivered? When we first started praying and believing. The manifestation came on December 30th, 2014. Because God's people prayed, believed, stood in faith, and God came through. Now, what about hope? I hoped the Cubs would win the World Series for 50 years. I hope. Because hope says it's coming. But I couldn't have Bible faith for it. Why? Because nowhere in the Bible does it determine or say who wins baseball games. And don't give me the in the beginning. The big inning. That's cute, that's funny, but it doesn't mention Cubs or any other team. Baseball games are determined on the field by the players playing. Ball hits a rock. Ball takes a funny hop. It spins. There's all kinds of stuff involved. But you can't pray and believe for that. What do? You hope. One day it'll come, and guess what? I love 2016. All these people ripping 2016. I dug 2016, man. Let me tell you. Something I had hoped for my whole life came. And when it comes, well, great. But that's hope. In the Bible, with faith, Abraham in Romans 4 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Hope turned into faith, and he became the father of many nations. He didn't waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. And what did he do in the time, meantime, when he, between the time he believed God's promise and when it finally manifested? It says he gave glory to God. What did he do that whole time? He praised God for the answer. That's faith. You're praying and you believe in God. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Because a faith that honors God is a faith that believes even though it does not see. Second kind of faith that honors God is a faith that persists when nothing changes. A faith that persists when nothing changes. Look what happens to these two guys. Remember the two men that were blind? They cry out to God. What happens? Jesus walks on into the house. See, these are those times. These are the hard sayings of Jesus. Remember the woman that came to him? Oh, my daughter. And he says, you know, hey, my hands are full with the lost sheep of Israel. I don't give the God's bread to dogs. Ow. I thought Jesus was such a sweet fella. These blind guys crying out to him, have mercy on us. He walks on in the house. I love this. Jesus heard them. Remember, they were screaming, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. They're yelling like they're in child labor. How'd that go? Oh, yeah, I remember. What did Terry say? We're not having any more kids. I remember it well. That's the ticket. I think Jesus you're looking at me. I think what Jesus was wanting to see, y'all all right? It's okay to laugh. We're in church. Better to laugh here than at a funeral home. Jesus wanted to see their faith. He wanted to see their persistence. He wanted to see whether they were really wanting this or not. That's the attitude of a lot of people. I want to be healed if it's convenient. You know what? Sometimes part of getting healing might be changing your diet. Starting to exercise. There might be some things in the natural you need to do to get into a position of faith in order to believe. Then it doesn't happen, and they think, well, it must not have been his will. What do you mean I need to study God's word? What do you mean I need to speak God's word? These blind guys, how did they follow him to the house? These guys were determined to get to him. They didn't quit. I think their attitude was probably, we're either going to get to him one way or another. We're going to follow him until he either heals us or throws us out of the house. What do we got to lose? We'd still be in the same situation we are now. They believed and they persisted. They were going to follow him no matter what. Colossians 4:2 tells us, be persistent in prayer and keep alert as you pray, giving thanks to God. See, far too many people give up when things don't change immediately. Oh, must not be the Lord's will. Well, if you've got the promise in God's will, then you've got his. If you got the promise in God's word, then you know his will. Because his word is his will. That's why it takes that constant, careful, reverent, diligent, prayerful study. Too often our faith is focused on the change, on the thing we're believing for, and not on the word and God's faithfulness. Put your focus on his faithfulness. You might get right in here. Remember, you prayed and believed here. The answer or the manifestation comes here. You're right here in the middle in that walk of faith. and maybe a thought of giving up comes in, you know what you do here? Just giggle. Yeah, I got it. I got it. In Jesus' name, I got it. The answer's here. The thing I prayed and believed for, I got it. You might not have it here yet, but you've got it here. You got it here. You see? You got it here. And then as you continue to thank God and worship God, then that manifestation comes. And you just giggle. You just laugh. Continue to praise God. Continue to thank Him that the answer has come. But watch this. We become disappointed. We don't see the change. We're thinking about giving up. You know? My faith is not in my faith. My faith is not in my works. My faith is not even in my desired outcome. My faith is in the Word and in God's faithfulness, in His great faithfulness. God's ways are higher than my ways. His ways are higher than my ways. A God whose thoughts I cannot comprehend, a God who is good through and through, all-powerful, ever-present, and all-knowing. My faith is in that God. And His timing might, well, it is. It's a lot different than mine. His timing is different. These two blind guys we were talking about, they weren't moved, bothered, or slowed because their situations didn't change the first time they approached Jesus. Remember, faith persists when nothing changes. Stay consistent. And then thirdly and finally, then we're done. A faith that works even when it doesn't make sense. A faith that works even when it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. A faith that is moved and marked by actions, even though everyone else would think you're crazy. That's what some folks around town thought about this church 2 years ago. When we were going through what we were going through, I heard they're bankrupt. I heard they're broke. I heard they're going under. I heard, yeah, you heard. You heard wrong. The reality is our actions and our words show the truth of what we really believe. I had a man right up there, nobody in this sound booth, but I was right up there in the sound booth with a guy a couple years ago because we'd been given a warning from an attorney saying that they were going to start, they were going to have to look for another place to move to because the building was going to be sold, and we're going to have to pack up what we could buy back and move to a different building. And so I was going to department heads and telling them this, you know, that, well, board's giving me, you know, word to go do this to tell you that, was I believing that? No. My heart was no more in that. We went and looked at two different locations. Was my heart in it? No. Why? Because we weren't going no place. I never thought we were going any place. But I was following my instructions from the church board. Just to humor them. But I was standing in faith believing. But I went to this one person and told him, well, you know, this is where you... Yeah, God showed me that in a vision that we're going to be moving. Oh, great. Glad He told you that. Yeah. And I... kind of knocked the dust off my feet and got out of there as quick as I could. Got away from that junk. Why? We weren't going to a place. Why? Because we were believing God. We were standing in faith. Remember, hope is a desire. Faith is a demonstration. Faith is action. Faith is action. Now, if you're here today and you're having maybe a situation, you're needing a job. And we're going to close with this here. When you don't have a job, there's absolutely nothing to pray about when you get an offer for a job. If you get offered a job, guess what? Take it. You say, thank you very much. I'll see you in the morning. And you show up on time, if not early, ready to work. And you start to, but it's not what I want. Take the job. God will give you what you want. Just take what you can get at this point. Get some money flowing in. Well, so what do I do, Pastor Scott, if I don't have a job to show faith? What do I do? Well, you get up every morning. You, if you're a guy, you shower, you shave, you dress, You have your time in the Word. You eat breakfast and act like a person who has a job. You don't just lay on the couch all day or lay in bed all day thinking a job's going to come to you. You get up, you get ready, you get professional, and you go out and you look. And then you come pray with me. When you get an interview, you come and pray with me. I'm telling you. Or if you don't have an interview, come pray with me. You're believing God for a job, come see. I'm your guy. Come see me. Because we're going to pray and believe. And you go to work finding, or you create work. Go clean a house. Shovel snow. Mow grass. Find a need in the community and charge them to fix it. Have a faith that persists. When nothing changes, you knock on doors even when you don't feel like it. Because just when you're getting to the point of being fed up, that next door might be the one. When I pray for someone to get a job, and I pray for them. I pray for them to get an interview, and then once they have an interview, I pray for them for favor. But this is what I tell those people when I pray for them for a job. I say, you go in there with this attitude. You go in there with the attitude of, I am the answer to your dilemma. I am the solution to your problem. I am the answer to your need. Your attitude should be, someone needs, wants, desires an employee like me. But when I worked for a temporary agency here locally, I was the person who, I didn't apply to the temporary agency. I was the guy that they applied to, and I would interview them. Okay, we got a secretarial opening. Go through our secretarial files. Let's call some people in. Let's do an interview. See who we think can do this real quick. Find them as quick as possible. Or a factory job or a driving job. And the people would come in. How much does pay? First question. Guess what? Next. That's not coming in with the right attitude. It's attitudinal adjustments. Attitudinal adjustments. So we need to have a faith that believes when it doesn't see. A faith that persists when nothing changes. A faith that works when it doesn't make any sense. Here's the bottom line. I would rather be blind with faith that God can heal than have sight and have no faith. Because I'll get my healing and then I'll go on down the road. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your mercy, your goodness, your love. I thank you, Father God, for opening up doors of opportunity for us. Thank you for opening up doors of blessing for us in every area. That as we learn and grow in faith, I thank you, Father God, that every need is supplied in every family in this church. That this church's every need is supplied over and above, super abundantly blessed in every area so we can give to others. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to just ask right now, as we close out this year, I'd like to ask if there's anybody.